On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, Tony's in heaven. He has permission to use the F word all the show. But we have a late change to the team sheet. It's not the Craig and Kirky show. It's going to be the Craig and Cully show. The twins ran in the national cross-country relays on Saturday. We find out how they got on. And Graham joins us with all the Striders news. It's action-packed. It's all about you. It is the renowned Radio Newark Sport. And as it's Tuesday, we'll start with some of our local youngsters making the weekend news. And the Long Bennington Gold team came out on top in the Big Knots Youth League derby against Farndon Colts, a side that hadn't tasted defeat since the 29th of April 2017. Oliver Barry, Corbin Reid and Samuel Wright scoring the goals for the home side, while Elliot Burrell grabbed the Colts' consolation. Newark Chan are only just missing out on top spot on goal difference, so Saturday's 6-1 victory at Limbay has done them no harm at all. Sam Graves netting a hat-trick for the Blues. Newark Athletic Club's Tom Braithwaite ran his first 10k in the Leeds Abbey Dash, finishing in an impressive 47.19. And to say he's only a lad, 1,318th out of 4,300 men. Cracking result. And Amber Owens finished 6th in the Carolina Conference Cup at Mount Olive, and in doing so, won the Freshman of the Year trophy. The rugby club's under-18 girls warmed up for their big cup match against Mansfield this weekend with victory at Coventry, and the under-15s came back from Lutterworth with a 17-all draw. Ed Howlett was fencing in two strong international competitions over the weekend. It was part of the GB20 under-20 squad in the Eden Cup in the Docklands on Saturday, and then on Sunday he fenced in the London Cup at the same venue. This is a GB senior foil event and also part of the European circuit. And tough races on Sunday for Finlay Cranage at the Midlands BMX Series. 3 fifth place finishes in his qualifying motos, and he just missed out on the A finals by 2 points. And 19-year-old Tom Watkins was the star of the night at the Newark Amateur Boxing Club's home event, although he lost in what turned out to be a very controversial fight. And the breaking news is Liverpool's getting beat 2-0 at Red Star Belgrade. So I hope none of my guests are Liverpool supporters, as that's going to put them in a bad mood before we start. I know one of them certainly isn't. But Mr. Smith, welcome back. We gave you a night off last night. They gave me a night off last night. But we gave you a night off. So as a special treat, yeah, I'm going to let you talk about Flow Serve all night.
Thank you.
As long as you promise me for the rest of the week you won't.
Can't promise that.
Oh dear, I'll have to gag you then. So what we're having...
Paying good money for that in Soho.
The first arrangement was that it was going to be the management team coming, but Mr. Kirkham is somewhat tied up in Nottingham, can't get over, so we've replaced him by no less a figure than the captain, and a debut for the captain at Radio Newark Sport. So we're saying good evening to James Cullingworth. Good evening, James.
Evening, guys. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, sorry, earlier on when I got asked to come on, but, you know, got nothing else to do, so here I am.
That's what most people come here for, got nothing else to do. So let's start out by asking you about the injury, because the one big absentee is yourself from that team. And how did it happen, and when are we going to see you back on Lowfields?
Well, happened 6 weeks ago tonight, actually, not that I'm counting to the days. Obviously, in the Not Senior Cup against Retford, pretty robust, heavy challenge. However, he got the ball and the ref didn't see anything illegal about the challenge, and unfortunately, as I said, pretty robust, so he caught me on the outside of my right leg and broke my fibula. So yeah, officially I've got a broken leg, even though I walked through the door to get in. So,
I was
yeah.
going to say, it's a... And rumour has it, the sort of specialists are saying sometime in the new year, but I think you've got your own agenda.
Yeah, I have. I got told it was going to be 8 to 12 weeks in cast, and it's now 6 weeks, and I haven't got the cast on at the moment. So things are healing pretty well. However, yeah, I probably won't play again until January, but I might have my own, as you said, my own agenda on that, depending on how things go in the next 6 weeks. We'll have to wait and see.
Is it the first time you've had this sort of injury?
First time I've broke my leg.
You out a long time.
First time I broke my leg playing football. I had a ankle ligament reconstruction back in 2014 on the same leg in the same area. So I was out for a whole season then. So I am, I wouldn't say used to it, but I have got the mental experience of going through an injury and dealing with not being able to play. So it is very tough. However, it's part of the game at any level, whether you play Sunday League or whether you play Premier League. I don't know if any of you have watched in here the Manchester City documentary that's on Amazon Prime. Obviously, they're following Pep Guardiola and the Man City squad all last season. And what's the left-back called? The French dude for Man City. Mendy. Mendy did a ACL knee ligament injury, and he was out for quite a while. So obviously watching that, I can kind of resonate with some of the stuff that he's going through.
It is a question probably for the new year, really, but this is the second major injury on the same area. What sort of mindset do you think you'll be in when the time comes to go on a football field again?
Well, I think that it sounds really strange saying this, but I think the fortunate thing about it is I've broken a bone. And if you don't really know about the body, that probably sounds pretty severe, but when the bone heals and it's strong again, it heals stronger than it was before, so hopefully it'll be strong and there's no muscle, ligament or tendon damage. So there's no issues with my movements, it's only the only issue is with the actual bone that's broke. Now that doesn't do anything within the movement, so I should be all good to go. However, I'm not a big tackler anyway, so I'm always pretty tentative when I have to try and tackle, when I have to. That's what Jamie Lloyd's for, tackling, so I don't have to do any of that. However, obviously, I probably will be pretty tentative, so I'll try and get myself a few games, maybe on a Sunday morning, maybe for Flow Serve, or my club, Wheatsheaf United in Southwell.
It was quite good to see the manager's face actually when you said you're not a tackler, just saying, yeah, I know. You've just said your club, Southwell, we term them as the noisy neighbours. This is where you started your career then?
No, it's not. I live in Upton at the moment, which is obviously 2 miles from Southwell, so when I found myself outside of the game, not really playing for anyone, around this time last year, I rang my mate who was Southwell City Reserves manager. And he said, yeah, I can go and play for him. So I played for Southwell City Reserves until Christmas. And then Craig rang me. So I thought, why not?
Because you've had a bit of an illustrious career. My notes say a spell at Stafford Rangers under Steve Ball. That was
interesting. Yeah, Stafford Rangers, good little club. I only played there about 6 months. And then we didn't do too well in the FA Cup or the FA Vars. So I think the budget ran out, which was all paid Steve Ball's wages. So come November, everyone got released, literally. So that was a short spell. But that's the thing with non-league. I've probably played for 15, 16 non-league teams. Some of them have only been for 2 or 3 months. Managers come and go, budgets come and go. And unfortunately, sometimes you sign for a reason and that reason's not there anymore. Whether that be a manager or to play for the money or whatever the case may be, things change very quickly. So unfortunately, I've had a long list of clubs, even though in the programme it only says Stafford and Southwell City Reserves. But there wasn't enough paper, I don't think, to write down.
So come on, Michelle's. Then, there's enough time, let's have them.
You want me to reel them off? Really?
Yes,
start from the beginning?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Right, so when I was 9 years old, my first club was Bulwell Youth. So we're going back way now. So I played for Bulwell Youth for a season and then got snapped up by Forest Academy when I was 10. Stayed at Forest for 10 years, so I was there till I was 20. So that was pretty good achievement in my book. Obviously my dad's used to be a diehard Forest fan, so me and him used to go to have a season ticket back in the mid to late 90s when Forest were kind of in the Premier League years of Pierre Donk, Van Hooydonk, Brian Roy, Stuart Pearce.
I'm also led to believe though that you're not a Forest fan.
Well, I used to be, as I said. I went to watch with my dad. We had a season ticket, but then when you get released by this club that you support, And you're no longer a professional footballer because of whoever the manager was at the time then. I think even, what is it, 2007, so 11 years later, you're still a bit bitter, I think.
Don't blame you.
So, yeah. So I now support Notts County. My best friend is a Notts County fan, so when I get the chance, I actually go and watch the Super Pies. And obviously, Kirk is a Notts County fan as well, so we talk about that, which is nice.
It's quite unique, actually, two Notts County fans being together.
Well, there's a few. Is there any more?
No, surely not. Anyway, come on.
Back to it, okay, so...
Let's get past Forest.
I got cruelly released. I got called in the office one day and they said, oh, Cooley, we don't want you here any longer. There's your wages for the rest of the season. Don't come training tomorrow. It was literally that brutal. Yeah, that envelope with the check-in, which was nice, like, but, you know... I cried when I got home at 20 years old.
It is brutal.
I was dreading telling my dad was at work. I live with my parents. I was dreading telling my dad when he got home because obviously he was a Forest fan and he was a fan of my career anymore and there no longer was not having a career in the game. So which was a shame. However, lived in Woodborough at the time and Andy Legg lived in Lamley, which is the next village, and used to drink in the same pub as my dad. So my dad used to chat to Andy Legg because obviously he knew who he was, and he was Hucknall Town manager at the time. So he spoke to Andy Legg, said, oh, my son plays, blah, blah, blah. So I went training with Hucknall Town for a few weeks. Obviously, I was fresh out of the professional game, so compared to the standard of most non-league players, I was doing pretty well in training. So I managed to get myself a contract at Hucknall Town for 18 months, which was nice. That was my, first stint in non-league in the Conference North, so it was a decent standard.
This is when Hucknall was...
Yeah, Hucknall Town in the Conference North. Yeah. I think the few years prior to me signing, I think they won lost the FA Vars. Mm. At Aston Villa Ground to Grays Athletic, but obviously with Andy Legg as manager, we actually in the local area. I'm not just saying Nottingham, but we had a few players from Sheffield and other cities. We could attract some decent players, so we had quite a good team. Ben Saunders, he was another one. Don't know if you've heard of him, lad, Southwell City.
The twins.
Saunders is the centre half. Saunders is the striker. Well, Sam Saunders signed from Southwell City to Doncaster Rovers.
Yeah.
Then obviously found him a few months later, found himself at Hucknall Town. So he was there. Like I said, we had a good team. We actually got relegated in our first season. We came third from bottom in the Conference North. And we drew with, I don't know how I remember this, we drew with Harrogate Town on the last game of the season. And that sent us down, which was a shame. However, we got a reprieve because Boston United and all their dodgy dealings. went down, so we actually stayed up. So by that's when I went to Stafford Rangers. A friend of mine, this is all like how football works in non-league really, a friend of mine played for Stafford Rangers, Bobby Wilson. So I texted him saying, oh, and what's the score at Stafford? He was like, oh, he asked his manager, Steve Buller. Went training in pre-season, played one friendly and then signed from then, so that was nice.
I'm just going to stop you 2 minutes because time's moving on. Craig, we'll get back to your career when Craig darts off. How do you pick up somebody playing Southwell City Reserves? I mean, for a start, with that pedigree, what the heck is he doing playing for Southwell City Reserves?
Well, as I know Cully from local football, never actually played with him. Had a few battles against him in the time over the years. He was at AFC Mansfield for a period, and then I just noticed, you know, most managers will tell you that they spend 90% of their life on FA full time, looking up results, seeing who's playing where, etc. And I noticed Cully on the score sheet for Southwell Reserves. I thought, well, he's worth getting in contact with. What's he doing there, sort of thing. So we got in touch, had a message, and you know, he agreed to come and join us, and never looked back since.
Don't take this the wrong way, but if he doesn't like tackling, and I've seen your tackling, how the hell do you have a battle?
Mainly verbal, it was, I think.
That I can understand. Yeah, I know you, and I've heard him. Yeah, I'll go with that one. Yeah, but this is part of, as you just explained, this is part of yours and Kirk's job. You're forever trawling out there to see who is not enjoying themselves, who's available.
Yeah, of course. You're always looking around and seeing what movements people are making. You know what players are doing well at certain levels, etc. Especially the position we was in last year when we were still building. We're in a fortunate position at the moment where we're very happy with the squad we've got, and we're not actively looking to replace anybody. We're what we've got now, and we feel that's plenty good enough for the level we're playing at now. And if we're finishing a strong enough position to move forward together as a squad.
How, this is one for both of you, Red Tone, just put up Mike just there a second if you could. This is one for both. How ruthless, Cully's told us how ruthless Forest are. Okay, and that is a professional game for you. Mm. What's the difference between last year, Step 7, Sunday League, if you like, when you mates play together, and where you are now? Because I've seen you've changed the goalkeeper again. Do you have to be absolutely straight down the line and ruthless? If somebody is better and is available, you go for him, or is in Step 6 form? Cully's been there and done it, so have you. Is there any room for sentiment?
Yes. It's difficult. Like I say, there's some players come with a good pedigree and they've been there and done it before, but it might not necessarily, for one reason or other, work at the new club coming to us. And he's spoke about a goalkeeper. Yinka's come in, this is his first level at Step 6. We picked him up from Cavs last season. He's done a great job for us so far, but he's still young and relatively inexperienced as a goalkeeper. He didn't start playing until a late age. Unfortunately, it has cost us a few games. It's difficult as a goalkeeper because, he's the last line and they take the rap. And
They should always blame the defence.
Yeah.
I learned from Atwood, you were all right.
Yeah. But young Joe Searson, he's an outstanding keeper, a young lad who's just been released from Notts County, became available and, really couldn't turn it down because, in our opinion, it improves us as a squad.
As a player, Cully, got to have a different mentality then now, as you go up that football ladder, to where Flo Serve are now, trying the best to get to Step 5, and they've got to be ruthless to do it. Has the player got to accept that some weeks he is the flavour of the month, but if you're not and you've had a bad game, you're going to drop down and somebody else is going to get the chance and you're going to be expected still to give 100% in training and 100% support on match days, which is something that you don't see the lower down the scale you go.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Obviously, like I said, if you play in Sunday leagues and things like that with friends, you're probably going to have guaranteed play every week because you're just playing for the fun of it. But when you play for a club, a successful club such as Newark Flow Serve are at the minute, doesn't matter whether you're Step 7, Step 6, Step 5, whatever, if you're playing for success, which is 3 points every Saturday or every Tuesday, which is promotion at the end of the season, you need to play well every single game. Like, in a successful team, every second matters, literally. So the other week we were, what was it, hot 5-0 at half time against
Borough Wash,
and we ended up winning 30-0. So that could be an important 8 goals in those 45 minutes. So you can't just take your foot off the gas. If you're a centre midfielder, you can't just start strolling around and not trying to play anymore because we're already 5-0 up. It doesn't work like that. You need to keep playing because if you don't, someone else will. So I'm already thinking about that when I'm fit, or hopefully when I'm fit in January, how am I going to get myself back in the team? Because like I said to, I think it was you, Tony, in the programme the other day, I would please me nothing more than for Newark Flow Serve to win every single game until January. So how does it warrant me getting back in the team? It doesn't. I need to do something to get back in the team. So that's part of being a successful team. If you want to play for a mid-table team or a low-table team and know you're going to play every week, that's great. But if you want to play for a team that's fighting for something, whether it be a cup at the end of the season or a promotion, it's part and parcel of you need to play well every single game.
Okay, we're going to find out in about 10 minutes' time where these two think Flow Serve can go. Craig's also going to tell me that why in the last two matches have turned the gas off at half time, and we're going to look at the opposition that's going to stop them, hopefully not, getting to Step 5. Coming up next, though, it's the Twins. And this week, as a special treat for everybody, we've got both of them on the other end of the telephone. Fantastic, Tilly and Lauren. And the reason that they're both there tonight is because, one, it's the last ever Two Steep training session at the Grove. And two, they've got a report that's just a fairly lengthy one. So, girls, I'm going to leave it all to you. Tell us what you've got to tell us.
So, it was a busy weekend for the club this weekend. So, we had Amber, who's in America, ran in the Carolina Conference at Mount Olive. She was sixth, and she was first freshman home. And she was awarded Freshman of the Year. So that was really good for her. Secondly, we had the National Cross Country Relays at Berry Hill on Saturday. There was not too many running, but of those who we did have running, all did great efforts. In the under 17 women, I ran in 2.5K in 11 minutes. And after me, there was Celia, who ran in 12 minutes and 40 seconds. And then Lauren, who ran in 11 minutes and 50 seconds. And our team finished 59th. And a really well done to Celia, because it was her first proper cross-country with the club. And in the under-13 girls, they did under-13 boys, they did 2K. And that was Josh Clee, who ran by himself, and he ran a good race in 7 minutes and 57 seconds. And he tripped twice, and he still managed to make up 26 places after that. We had an under-15 women team, and that consisted of 2K. So first we saw Amelia Crispin, who did a 7-minute 30 lap, finished in 33rd, followed by Ellie, who did an 8.06 lap, and Catherine Booth, who did an 8.38 lap, and their team finished in 52nd overall. And then in the senior women's 3K, we had Chloe Hubbard, who ran a 10.37 and placed 37th. So it was a good run from her. And sadly, we didn't have a team for the senior women. And for the senior men, we were just short of a team with only 3 people out of the 4. But Tim Bagley had a good start with 18.35 over a 5K and came 107th, followed by Tom Hubbard, who finished in 19 minutes and got the places down to 99th. And then followed by Dad, Gareth Owen, who got a time of 21 minutes and their team finished 108th. We also had Linton Taylor, who's now in the Leeds AC. He was part of the B team, but had an amazing race and came third in the first leg. And his team finished 11th, I think, overall. So it was really good for him. And he had a good team for once, yeah. And then on the Sunday, we had the third mini league sports hall. And we had a good turnout. We had the under-11 Connor and Hayden, who performed in the parlour and had a fab race to come second. Then in the 8-lap parlour, we had the under-13 Zoe and Lucy, who also came second, and then the under-15 girls, Ellie and Freya, came third. So they all had great teamwork and changeovers. We also had a few under-11, Cathy and Emily, competing in the 1-lap, and Ethan, who was slightly injured, came and did some very good field events, and our under-13 girls scoring relay team consisted of Neve, Lucy, Beth and Zoe, all coming in third. And finally, on Sunday, we had the Leeds Abbey Dash, and Tom Braithwaite ran his first 10K, and he's only under 15, in 47 minutes, 19 seconds. And he finished in 1,318th out of 4,310 men. So he had a brilliant race. And his dad, Lee Braithwaite, finished in front for now of 40 minutes, 56 seconds, and came 676 men. And Rebecca Gallup got a PB in 37 minutes, 24 seconds. And she was the 33rd female out of 3,847. And then coming up next weekend, we have the next North Mid Cross Country at Wixie Park Kettering. And on Sunday, we have the next Mini League Cross Country at Mansfield.
And coming up next Tuesday,
we are training at the new track.
Yeah, you can't wait, can you?
No, it's going to be really good. We've been waiting a long time for it.
We've been waiting a lifetime for it, girls.
Yeah, ever since we started the club at like 9 years old. Well, it was 8, wasn't it? But like, oh yeah, we're getting a track. So now it's seven, 8 years later. We are now.
So we're going to talk to you next week, just before you actually set foot on that track for the first ever time.
Yeah.
That can't be bad, can it? Girls, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Cracking report and another busy weekend for Newark Athletic Club.
Yeah, see you next week.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's the wonderful twins. And next week, they'll be on that super-duper new running track that they've been waiting 8 years for, and the rest of us in Newark have been waiting 58 years for. But next week, should see it. A few more headlines. And Britain's Laura Kenny won her second gold medal last week at the World Track Championships in Milton, Canada, with victory in the Women's Omnium. That sounds like one of Tony Smith's words, don't it? The 26-year-old and 2-time Olympic champion also won the team pursuit gold in her first World Cup event since becoming a mum. And she was last on a bike in January 2016. And 3 players were sent off after the final whistle, following a 30-man brawl between the players and the staff at the Galatasaray-Fenerbahçe derby match in Istanbul. Yeah, you see, it's not just Nguyen against RHP, is it? Australia lost a 7th consecutive cricket one-day international as South Africa cruised to victory by 6 wickets in Perth. Oh dear, how sad.
What a shame.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And this is the Craig and Cully show. We've heard all from Cully so far. So this is the joint manager's now going to be put to the sword a little bit. We all stood there and enjoyed 13 goals being smashed past Borough Washington. This is absolutely fantastic. I'll give Eastwood a lot of credit because they reorganised in the second half and they looked a completely different team in the second half. They'd got it right. But again on Saturday, and then the last time you come in here, I had a grumble about you weren't winning away matches. You put that right. So I'm going to have a grumble now about the second half performances.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot wrong with him, to be honest. I think, you know, in the first half, in the last two games that you're talking about, obviously we've gone off like house on fire and we've kind of put the game to bed by half time. You know, these last two games have been against Eastwood and Kimberley, who, you know, are no mugs. You know, Eastwood, for example, beat Quorn in the FA Vars on Saturday, who play, I think, two steps above. You know, they're now got Ilkeston in the next round. So, you know, doing what we did to him in the first half of the game is nothing to be ashamed of. And by going out in the second half and not mirroring what we did in the first half, you know, it's not easy to do against sides like that. You know, they come out in the second half and obviously they're going to have a go and kind of just stop you playing. You know, the last thing they want to do is get rolled. And the same on Saturday against last Saturday against Kimberley, you know, where they come out in the second half and they was big and horrible basically, and you could see what their team talk entailed at half time, and it was to get into him and stop him playing. They knew they couldn't match us in a football match, so they tried and made it into a bit of a scrap, which they did, and they just sort of spoiled us in the second half really.
And is this something else that the spectators at Lowfields have got to get used to, that teams very rarely are going to be rolled over, because the higher the standard you've got there, the more nous they've all got, and if they can't beat you at football, they'll stop you playing football.
Yeah, well, I think most people that come down, you know, are knowledgeable and they understand the game. But, you know, I think it was still an entertaining second half. You know, we still had a number of chances. You know, we could have scored three or four goals if we was a little bit more clinical in that second half. But that's just how it goes. And at the end of the day, I think Joe's had a couple of saves to make in the second half, but apart from that, it was still comfortable. The one we did concede was fortuitous.
He got beat by the Lowfields wind. Many keepers being beat by the
Lowfields wind. I've seen
wind.
A few of them before, yeah. And it's just one of them things, you know, it was a cross, it just looped in the top corner. But, yeah, there wasn't a lot wrong with it, so I'm not too concerned about that. But it is something we're addressing, you know. It is something we'll always try and put 90 minutes together at the same level we have done in the first half. But
You mentioned the crowds, and we've always said that if you put a successful football team in Newark, people would come and watch them. Forget the name at the minute, but you put a team in Newark, people would come out in the numbers to watch the football.
Yeah.
The Saturday's crowd was the third highest Saturday at step 6 level in England. And I think you've been in the top 10 probably about 3 times now this season already for a brand new club. You've got to be pleased about that.
Yeah, a bit overwhelmed by the support we've had on a Saturday afternoon at Flowserve. It's been consistently between 150 and 180, and like you said, nationally that's got us in the top 10, sometimes in the top 5. At step 6, which is, you know, it's a fantastic achievement. But like you said, I think people have got something entertaining to go and watch now, something to be proud of. And, you know, the feedback that I get from most people that come regularly is it's a great day out for them now, and they actually enjoy it. And the support builds, and they get a little bit more vocal every week, and it's starting to become like we've actually got fans rather than just people who come to watch a game.
I mean, as a player, Cully, what's it like? I mean, you've played in front of bigger crowds than there at Flowserve, I know, but for us, we're in sort of virgin territory here. What's it like to play in front of three-figure crowds? And more to the point, they're even chanting now. I mean, Sam Agar's got his own corner.
Yeah, it's good to see, as we've said, at this level, obviously our attendance is up there nationally. Top 10, top 5, and it has been this weekend top 3, which is great. To see, and then again, I've noticed before I got injured, I noticed towards the end of games when we were probably getting on top of teams a bit more, they were actually cheering for us and supporting us and wanting us to score. Whereas before, previously, last season and maybe at the start of the season, they were just coming to watch a game of football. But now they're cheering for us. I've heard Sam Agar's got his own song, which doesn't do his ego any good. And he's got his own supporter, and that supporter's got a son. So there's now two of them, which is worrying. But that's good. When all the fans stand down the side in the new stand and behind the goal, it helps us, certainly in the second half, if we shoot that way, suck that ball into the net. And it's good to see. It's always good to play in front of a crowd, and then it's always good to play in front of a crowd who are supporting you, and that really does help. I know they call the 12th man and stuff like that, but sometimes they can help.
It does actually make a difference to you then?
Personally, I don't really notice the crowd when I'm playing. However, I do notice them when we're maybe putting an onslaught at the goal and we're getting corner after corner and chances are coming, then I do notice it. Within the game generally I don't really notice it, but it certainly does help when we're, as I said, we're onslaughting on a goal and we're getting corner after corner, and it helps kind of like suck the ball in the net and it puts pressure on the defence.
What I admire most about the crowd that are now coming down to Lowfields, the thing that worried me from the outset was Newark is very close knit. You know, you're a Newarker, and to achieve what Flowserve are achieving, they've had to go out of Newark for the players, and it was a worry at the outset if the players would be accepted or not. They've been accepted with open arms. As we said, we've already got the Sam Agar fan club, but they've been accepted with open arms, and they are honouring Newarkers, Tony, aren't they?
But I mean, if you look through the team, I mean, you've got Liam Moran, you've got Potsley, Jamie Lloyd, you know, Reese Lewis, Jack Beckett, Danny Meadows.
Oh yeah, I'm not just using that. I'm saying the guys that the guys public don't know, the new names,
the guys that
they've talked to,
the guys that have come in have become honorary Newarkers, because I mean, not only are they very good footballers, but they're also very good lads as well, and that is appreciated by the crowd. And on Saturday, when we played against Kimberley, when the crowd started, the guy who was shouting Flowserve then got an echo from behind the goal, and then his son started in, as Collier has just said. And the grin on Potts' face when he heard the chanting was just superb. I mean, it was just before he was about to go up for a header, in fairness. But, you know, I mean, it was still... The players really respond. And against Retford, you know, the players were celebrating with the crowd as the goals were going in. It's just fantastic to see. As you say, we're living in dreamland at the minute.
Right, now, Craig, you're living in dreamland. Yes, you are. Cully's also already mentioned, and these questions I've got to ask, Cully's also mentioned when he was at Hucknall Town, he's mentioned when he was at Stafford. Clubs can go down as quick as they go up. Now, your owner, benefactor, chairman, whatever word you want to use, strikes me as one of the nicest men I've ever met in football, and is there for the duration. Flowserve need to turn a football club into a business, and I'm assuming that's on the agenda.
Yeah, obviously I can only speak from my position. I try not to get involved in chairman side of things. Yeah. You know, that's Gary's business. But one thing I do know is that Gary has got a long-term plan for the football club. You know, it gives me a lot of confidence when I speak to him that when he's talking about moving forward, he's talking about over the next 3 to 5 years. So it's not something that I think is going to be a flash in the pan. It's something he wants to build gradually. We'll try and speed that up as much as we can, of course.
You're already going too fast for him.
yeah, we are. I mean, like you said, his target at the start of the season was, you know, consolidate your position in step six. He was happy with that. And then, you know, he's talking about over the next 3 years, try and go from there. You know, obviously us as a management team and a group of players, we want to be as successful every time we go out on the pitch. And if that means we end up in a position for promotion this season, then that's all fantastic. And Gary will back us all the way on that.
So this is the next question. We assume that Gary stays there, and he's got every intention of staying there. How big can Lowfields get as a ground, and how much further can you push this side?
I think that, well, starting off with the side, a lot further. You know, I believe that this squad we've got now, Kirk and I both believe this strongly, that they're good enough to compete definitely at the level above and probably compete at the one above that as well. You know, lads would have to prove themselves at that, but they did it last year and they've done it again this year. We're fortunate in a position, just like James, Meds, Becky, you know, we've got a lot of lads, Sam, they've all been at higher levels. So they've been there, they've done it, got the T-shirt, and they've, you know, we've got them back down playing with us, which is one of the secrets to our success at the minute. As far as the ground's concerned, we are limited on space because obviously we have to allocate the kids, and then there's the second pitch as well. But there is enough room to develop it, enough to take us up the levels that we need to go, you know, and Gary's looking at things like that already. How we can improve it from where it is now, what needs to be done before the summer. And yeah, so there is space to move on there.
Cully, does a player spend all his time looking at what Selston and Sherwood are doing, or do you not bother about them at all? In other words, do you spend all your time?
I'm going to admit, I'm pretty sad like that. Honestly, that's the first thing I look at: how Selston got on, how Sherwood got on.
I mean, I was sick on Saturday when I saw this Sherwood have scraped a 3-2.
Well, yeah, I know it's a shame, but they're both good sides, clearly. So obviously, they're going to keep picking up points. So we need to do the same. Yeah. Personally, that's the first thing I look at. I know it sounds a bit sad, but I go straight on the East Midlands Counties website.
You see,
and
the manager tells me he doesn't look at the opposite. He doesn't look at tables and everything. Now, that's what he tells me. I don't believe it for a minute, but that's what he tells me.
Yeah, well, I think we need to. Obviously, like I said earlier, we want to be successful, and so we need to know how we need to get on from game to game. So obviously, if Selston and Sherwood win, which they most likely do, certainly recently, then we've obviously got to win as well.
So what is the promotion situation? What do we know? Is it one going up? Is it two going up? Is it? I mean, has the FA managed to work this one out yet?
As far as I'm aware, the top one, you know, is you've got to win it to go up, and then across the country, it works on a points ratio system as the highest runner-up, and there's a number of teams, I think it's something like 9,
that'll because go there up. Isn't enough, there isn't as many step 5s as there is 6s, is
that's
there?
Right, yeah. So but there's also rumours, which there always is, regarding the FA of restructuring again at step 5, which could create more opportunities for possibly 2 or 3 going up. But you know, at the minute, you know, we just look at it as if you're on a guaranteed promotion, then you have to win the league, and anything else will be fortuitous.
Oh well.
Yeah, well, talking about the chairman's long-term commitment, when he was trying to talk me into taking the job as communications officer, he took me to his private box at Port Vale in a match against Lincoln City, and on the way to the Potteries and back and during the 90 minutes, I was grilling him and I said, what's your long-term commitment? I mean, fortunately, it's only last week that he turned 50. He's talking about a 5-year plan, which we've managed in 3 years, and he's now got another 5-year plan, and he said, you know, he's got a 5-year plan after that and a 5-year plan after that, and that's why I threw my lot in.
Yeah, but you know, let's put this into perspective. He went to Monaco and missed a match.
Yeah,
come on, this commitment.
He also missed another match, which would go to Port Vale against Notts County on Saturday.
You know, so, come on, it's, you know, we've got to be a worry, Craig.
There are such things as kangaroo courts.
Okay, where are you this weekend?
Saturday, we're off to Clipston.
Brings back memories.
Yeah, it does bring back memories. Playing for one of my ex-managers, Mickey Taylor. He's their manager now. You know, Clipston are a better side than what the table reflects. So we're expecting a tough game. I'm expecting something very similar to what we faced on Saturday against Kimberley. You know, a big, strong physical side, some good players. And, you know, it's like we've been saying to the lads over the last few weeks. When we go to these places, it's a cup final for them. This is their season. They want to stop our run.
Well, you see, you're not the new boys anymore, are you? People are now, like Cully, looking at that table. And, you know, you're sitting there in second place. You're there to be shot at now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've witnessed that, and it's clear to see most weeks that is the, you know, that's a target for them. That's their season now. You know, what was it about Kimberley on Saturday? Then they're going to struggle to compete. So, you know, they're big games now, are taking points off sides above them.
So, Mr. Club Captain, the same question to you as what Craig has answered. We all wanted the group.
I have indeed.
How far can this group go?
Well, I think in non-league football, I think if everyone pulls together in the right direction, from the chairman through to the management team, the players, and everyone else involved, it can go as far as it wants to go. I remember back in 2008, played against Fleetwood at home, and I was thinking, who, I've never heard of Fleetwood before. This was in the Conference North. Now, what league are Fleetwood in now?
League One, can't it?
Obviously, Salford City do it. That's an exception because of obviously their board of directors or their class of 92 and things. But I think for a club like Flowserve,
yeah, but we've got our own class of 92.
Indeed, we have. Indeed, we have. Don't know if Kirky scrapes into that one. He's a bit too young for that, isn't he? Yeah. So, like, as obviously we were very successful last season, won the double. Hopefully, going to be successful this season, and then wait and see. But I think if you look at the tables in non-league, teams who got promoted previously always do well the season next. So obviously we got promoted, we're doing well. Sherwood got promoted, they're doing well. Look at higher up the tables, you get promoted, you do well because you get into a consistent habit of winning, and that winning mentality, and it just takes you through.
I think the game on the 24th of this month away at Sherwood Colliery is going to tell us an awful lot, because if we'd have stayed at 11 men at Selston, we'd have won that match, and it'll be very interesting to see how we play against Sherwood.
But Craig's going to tell me he's not even thinking about that match yet, are you, Craig? All you're thinking about is Saturday. That's what a manager normally
says. One game at a time.
Yes, you never look past the game, but at the same time, you know, we'll still look forward to probably at least 5-6 games in front. But yeah, it's one game at a time. You know, 3 points on Saturday is the priority.
Me, I've completely rearranged where I'm going to be at Christmas now, so I can be at Lowford on the 29th of December.
Yeah.
That's where I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, after, like you say, we're away this Saturday, and then we've got two home games Saturday, Tuesday, then against Barrow, one in the league, one in the cup, and then we're away for the whole month, I think five away games until we're back to Lowfields on the 29th.
By the time you get to the 29th, those five away games.
Yeah, and during that time, yeah, you know, Selston and Shearer play each other. Everyone's got big games during that period, so I think by the time the new year comes, you know, the league table at the top is going to be a little bit more defined, and we'll see where we're sitting when the new year comes.
Okay, Craig, you're going off training.
Yeah,
that's much more important than sitting talking to me. So you go off training. James, you're going to stop with us until 8 o'clock.
I can stop. Yeah,
good lad. We're going to talk with Graham and all the Newark Striders news in a couple of minutes. Talking all night about one of Newark's sporting success stories, and now we're going to talk about another of Newark's sporting success stories, the Newark Striders Running Club, and that means it's time for Graham Welsh. Good evening, Graham.
Good evening.
And as ever, a massively busy weekend for the team in orange.
Yeah, we've been all over the place, and started really, the weekend starts here on Friday night, and it was over to Rushcliffe Golf Club for four Newark Striders on Friday evening for the night trail 5 mile event. So as you might imagine, that's a trail run and it's at night, so it's head torches on, and the course is marked out with glow sticks and fairy lights and things like that, and four Striders are over there. First to finish of the 77 competitors in the race was Jess Gordon, 39 minutes and 30 seconds. She was 13th finisher overall and their fourth woman, followed not too far behind by Philippa Clark, 41 minutes and 39 seconds. She was the sixth woman finisher. Then Stacey Atkins came in 52 minutes, 02, and then Nick Harrison, 1 hour, 5 minutes and 7 seconds. Saturday started like many Saturdays, or all Saturdays really for us, with Park Run, so big turnout at Newark Park Run, as you might expect of Striders, and there's a really good sort of team run out there as usual. A few people go to other park runs, so we had members over at Arrow Valley and Rother Valley and Rushcliffe, a few people were over there as well. So we have a park run in the morning, and then in the afternoon, one of the Newark Striders, Jeff Riley, was up at the Sherwood Pines for the Robin Hood Trail 10K, a bit of trail running this weekend, and he finished that event in 55 minutes exactly. On to Sunday, and it was the home pier point for Steve Good. He was in the half marathon version of the Let's Go Round Again event, which is basically running around the lake there at Home Pierpont several times, five times in fact for the half marathon, and Steve did that in 1 hour 58 minutes and 53 seconds. There was actually a marathon version of that event as well. Meanwhile in Yorkshire, Jan Bailey was up in Leeds for the Leeds Abbey Dash 10K, big event that, with over 8,000 competitors, and Jan, I think he started a little bit further back than he intended to in the field, and got caught in traffic a little bit, and slowed him up at the start of the race, but he still had a what for most New York riders seems like an incredible run, which is 35 minutes and 19 seconds. And also on Sunday in Derbyshire, we had the Dovedale Dash, and two New York riders, Ben Barnard and Nick Harrison, were over there for that. So that's basically a step on from trail running. That's cross-country, so that's a big downhill mass finish, 4¾-mile event. And then you've got the choice at the bottom of the hill of either going over the stepping stones or wading through the icy River Dove, which is what most people did to save time. And then you've got a bit of running through mud and fields, and a great big uphill finish towards the to the end of the race. And so 1,342 people in that, so it's a pretty incredible event. And Ben went around the course in 38 minutes and 14 seconds, and Nick 58 minutes and 46 seconds. Back to Nottinghamshire, and at Woolerton Hall, there was the British Legion 5K Poppy Run, and our Di Holmes was there running the event, and she finished it in 33 minutes and 45 seconds. So in terms of what's coming up, we're getting to the time of year where sort of mass participation in lots and lots of different events is starting to sort of peter out a little bit as sort of less people do fewer events. We've got the Colville 10K coming up this weekend, so I expect a couple of us will be over there for that. And then in the next few weeks, we've got the All Clubs Run, which, as I mentioned last week, with the it's basically all the four clubs that are involved in the New York Half Marathon. We all run together periodically, probably every month or so. And we've got the first of those all-club runs a week on Sunday, 6- and 4-mile route options, all of which will take part, at least partly, on the route of the New York Half Marathon. And then also the weekend after next, we've got the Mow Run events at Woolerton Hall, 5 and 10K options for that, and our plogging, which is our high-speed litter picking, which we do as part of our sort of initiatives to sort of take part in the local community. And they're very enjoyable, actually, sort of running round or jogging round and collecting stuff up and handing it in for the council to pick up. So that's what we've been doing and what we will be doing. And back over to you, Rick.
As I said right at the beginning, as busy as ever, you never do seem to have a quiet weekend. It really doesn't
really
exist.
There's something going on, and you know, and they're just the events, really. I mean, most of us are out training and running, and you know, there were loads of striders running around Safe Woods on Sunday morning. That's not an event as such, as a normal sort of club training event at the weekends, and of course we're training right through the week as well.
Absolutely brilliant, Graham. We're going to catch it with you again next week in what is going to be a special show next Tuesday, because it's going to be the first ever time we talk to the twins live from their new running track.
Excellent.
So all the runners, I'm sure you'll all get a go on it very soon, because it's something that we can be very, very proud of in Newark, that we're actually getting facilities worthy of the superstar sports people that we've actually got in our town. So we all look forward to that. And Graham, we'll find out what you lot's been up to all over the weekend, and the wonderful New York Striders. Thank you so much.
Bye, Dan.
Thank you, bye. Are decent sports people good watchers of the game, Cully? Because in my limited knowledge, probably not. People like me and Tony, who would love to be decent at sport, will watch it all day, all night. But people who are actually good at it strikes me as not particularly good at watching.
It is a tough one. Well, I've enjoyed watching Flow Serve since I've been injured. It is hard, but the standard that we're playing at, certainly the first half against Eastwood, honestly, I haven't seen football that good at this level for a long time, if ever, at this level. So it's always good to watch. However, knowing that you can potentially help and be part of that is very frustrating. I'll always cheer the boys on. However, it's kind of a bit of a bittersweet pill when, obviously, I want them to win. However, seeing all their midfielders play so well, I'm struggling, really. I've got a broken leg and I can't get back in the team.
Danny, Jack, Jammy.
Exactly. Reece, Jammy, yeah. Lloyd, the unsung hero. I must say that about someone like Jammy, obviously. All these players, Danny Meadows, Tom Potts, and whoever, Sam Agar, come to the club with all this pedigree. And then we've got someone like Jammy Lloyd, who we probably couldn't play without, to be honest.
Well, you see, this is what I think is so wonderful about this fairy tale, and it does revolve around Jammy, because Jammy was one of the
old, he ain't old, but one of the old brigade. You know, he played on a Sunday and he's been there on a Saturday when Flow Serve and Newark Town or whatever have been plying the trade in Step 7. And now he's mixing it with you lot.
Mixing it with the big boys.
And I'll tell you what, there is no way he looks out of place.
He is not, no, he is not. People might have thought at the start of the season, oh, Jammy, will he be out of his depth? No chance. He can give us something that no one else in that team can give us. He gives 110% from minute 0 to minute 95. He'll put a tackle in, he'll put his head in where it hurts, and he's got a bit on the ball, so he can distribute the ball as good as anyone else when he needs to.
And he's also a bit like you, he'll get the last word.
Yeah, is he like that? I'm not sure.
He's like that, yeah.
Have you had him on the radio station?
Not yet, no.
We need to get Jammy in.
And now our show's not long enough, but...
get Jammy in.
But when you... Before the injury, it's the first time I've actually seen you play, and what I did like to see is the way that the rapport you had with the referees. you was relatively nice to him, but you was firm, and you was asking the questions as the captain, and that's a big responsibility nowadays, isn't it?
It certainly is. I think, obviously, as captain, you get opportunity to kind of have conversation with the referee about whatever goes on in the game. And I think from my point of view, if you word it correctly, you can more or less put some pressure on the referee without getting in trouble for it, which is nice from my point of view. I know I probably kind of crossed the line now and then. When we played Radford away, the referee was not having a great game, and our rapport was awful, and that was probably my fault more than anything. However, sometimes you can have a good rapport with the referee and you can get him on side, and that can sometimes help when need be.
Yeah, well, it's sort of, we let the opposition implode and you just be polite and ask the questions.
Exactly.
But you've got to be firm as well, and Jammy on the other hand will go and shout at everybody all the time.
No, I think Jammy, I've noticed that since watching. I didn't really notice when playing, but Jammy's vocal influence has been really good. You can hear him all the time.
Yes.
And then, but then you've got players like Reece Lewis, who Reece has said to me a few times, Cully, lay off the ref a little bit, because he's obviously at the other end of the spectrum. He's a bit more, he's calmer, he's a bit more conceived and he's relaxed, and so he was like, Cully, just lay off the ref, and then it's good.
And you listen to somebody like Reece.
Yeah, of course.
Got the t-shirt,
obviously he's got a good career, he's got a stable head. Yeah, he's good to have in the team.
Could you ever see yourself, because you are a Southall man,
indeed,
could you ever see yourself wearing the orange shirt of Flow Serve?
Honestly, I didn't
because
even know.
You know what I mean? It's just crossing the border, isn't it?
So the only time I've only ever played at Newark Flow Serve ground once, in a Willie Hall Cup final back in 2009 for Loudoun United reserves. So that's the only ever time I've been down Newark Flow Serve.
With Chris Bovey?
Yeah, Chris Bovey. Yeah, that was, he was Flow Serve for a bit,
he
right?
He was, wasn't he? Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
that's the only time I knew all the finals were at Flow Serve, so I knew it was a good ground because I played there and things like that. I didn't know who they were. When I was playing for Southwell City Reserves, I actually played one game for the first team, and I got chatting to the lads in the change room. They're like, oh, I was like, oh, who's the best team in this league then? Didn't even know what league we're in. They're like, oh, Newark Flow Serve. So then I kind of thought, oh, yeah, okay. So, and then just happens, like, literally the next day, Craig rang me.
Craig's on the phone.
So,
right?
Yeah.
And well done, Craig. Cully, let's get yourself fit. As I say to all, and I've been involved in football all my life, don't rush it. Another 2 weeks after you think you're fit. Don't want you breaking down.
That's a hard one for me, though.
It's a hard
obviously,
one. I know it's an hard
pretty
one,
driven kind of guy, yeah, certainly in terms of my fitness. So I'm a...
You're a PE teacher, aren't you?
I am a PE teacher.
So fitness is going to be the...
Fitness is not bad. I try to keep myself fit outside of work as well.
You're not going to be going into this cold, but... Make sure that...
I know. Well, I did take my cast off myself the other week with scissors. I should still be in cast now. I've got a meeting with a specialist on Thursday.
That's going to be interesting.
I'm going to walk into that room and with no crutches, no cast, no nothing, and he's going to be thinking, but oh, well, I'm fine. I'll be back January. No worries.
Well,
If selected.
Let's hope you are. Thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I really do appreciate your time, and it's great to hear the James Cullingworth story and Flow Serve doing well. Tony, tomorrow night, it's me and you.
Is it?
We're having one of those me and you nights. Yes, we're having...
Is your basketball run out, though?
Not fast. Dave, and we're also talking to Rob. Well, to Rob Wardman.
All right.
There's no guests in the studio, so me and you's going to have a bit of a catch-up. It's a long time since we've had a bit of a natter. And a bit of a catch-up.
So that's 58 minutes floor, sir.
No, we're not mentioning the F word. Bye-bye.